Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 50, verses 1 through 14. The Reverend Doug Ribbenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the book of Genesis chapter 50. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for it, for that is how many are required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. And when the days of weeping for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, 'My father made me swear, saying, I am about to die. In my tomb that I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan, there shall you bury me. Now therefore let me please go up and bury my father. Then I will return.' And Pharaoh answered, 'Go up and bury your father as he made you swear.' So Joseph went up to bury his father. With him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the household of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's household. Only their children, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, 'This is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians.' Therefore the place was named Abel Mitzrayim. It is beyond the Jordan. Thus his sons did for him as he commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so begins the ending of the beginning of the books of Holy Scripture. The book of Genesis is drawing to a close, and there is yet one more tale to be told, not as if it were a myth, but a recording of the events of life. For following all of this, Joseph's brothers, that fear will be renewed, and they will devise another plan. How human. In fact, Genesis sort of lays out the die of life. It begins with life, with new life, and the joy of all that that is. How quickly it turns to trespass, to separation, to mourning. And then comes reunion and joy and separation. How often in our own lives do we have this? Joy at something new and wonderful. Sin comes along and crushes it. There is separation and lament. By the work of the Holy Spirit, how often we find that restoration, that reunion, that peace that the world cannot give, for it is found only in the gospel. But living this side of glory, there is yet that separation to come. And here it is that as Abraham... Excuse me, not Abraham. His descendants, for sure. But Jacob. Jacob breathes his last, draws his feet up into the bed, is gathered to his people. And Joseph fell on his father's face, and wept over him and kissed him. In our lives, as we come to this event, with those we love, those we know who die in the Lord, oh, that we would have such passion as Joseph to draw near and kiss, and to let ourselves mourn and cry. Not because we are faithless, but because we love. And we miss them. We might not see it so explicitly in the text, but there is that hope that is unique to the Christian. That body that we lay in the grave shall yet rise again. It is not some empty shell, some vessel, some carton to be discarded, recycled, and reused elsewhere, the contents of which are the only thing that matter. No. The human person, unique in all of creation, the Genesis tells us. For of all the things the Lord has made, the angels are but spirit. The animals are but beast, flesh. The one unique jewel in the eye of our Lord in all creation, whose image is made in that of God, it's the human person, both body and soul, flesh and spirit. So it was made to be. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, so it shall be again. For Joseph commands the physicians, those who normally treat a living body, to embalm, to take care, to preserve, to show that there is yet more to be told for this body of Jacob. Not just the practical matter of having to travel so far into Canaan, but that this body is preserved, its use shall yet be. For we know in Genesis what it is, our destiny, this type of life that we have. By the toil of our brows, by the sweat, we shall eat our bread, we shall work, we shall suffer, we shall endure until the day when we shall return to dust. For remember, O man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. But made in the image of Christ, we know that he has taken that, assumed humanity into himself. For that which he assumes, he redeems. Not just our souls, but our bodies as well. And so it is that as he hung on the cross, as he drew his feet up and was gathered to his people, indeed, actually his people gathered now to him, drawing all things to himself. His body too embalmed, prepared for burial. The use is yet to be. Laid in the tomb in 3 days' time, he rises, body and soul, to proclaim victory over death. For do we not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This promise, this cross, echoes forth in all directions throughout all of time and space. It is the faith of Jacob, of Israel, that looks to the Savior, promised ages ago in the very first chapters of creation. The seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head. It is the Savior, the cross to which we look back to see the realization of God's promise of our redemption, the work that He has done. Faith on all sides of the great chasm of reality. Look to the cross. And we look through the cross as well. For with weeping and tears, Joseph kissed the lips of his father and laid his body in the grave, knowing that he would again, one day, hold his father in his arms, just as our Father in heaven shall one day hold us in his arms, not just in spirit, but in flesh and blood. We weep now as Joseph wept, and we rejoice now as Joseph rejoiced, knowing that the end of this book, and by that I mean the whole of Holy Scripture, is the joyous reunion of all the saints. And in thanksgiving, we walk unto that day with cheers, with tears, and with shouts of joy. How fitting, then, that we begin this week moving towards thanksgiving with the wonderful reminder of the thanksgiving that has been given and the thanksgiving that is yet to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.